We're going to look in chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. And this is building off of what Paul had said in the first 11 verses and what Jay shared with us last week about the judgments and how the different people would make up their own decisions. And so he's getting at the Jews right now as far as their feelings of superiority or that they had something special because they had the Mosaic Law. And so what we'll look at today is in Romans 2 chapters, or excuse me, verses 12 through 16, let's go ahead and read that together. For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these, not having the law, are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. On the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ. Now, you might have noticed Paul talking about something called the law, right? It was kind of redundant how many times he said it. And so that's going to be the big thing we're going to look at. And before we get into it, let's go ahead and go to the Lord for guidance and wisdom, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning and the opportunity we have to be here together. Father, I thank you for those who, without water, have been able to come here and join us in worship. And we pray, Lord, for those who are without water right now and are just trying to get their day going or trying to get food going without the water. And we pray, Father, that you would be with the people working on the problem, that they'd get it fixed and so that the city of Azel could have water again. We pray, Father, for our time now as we go into to worship you by studying and reading and hearing your word. And we pray, Father, that you would guide us and that you would speak to each one of us today. We know, Lord, that your word is not empty, that it has great power. And we know that it has something for us. And so we pray that you would open up our hearts and take away the distractions of our day and speak to us, Lord. Convict us, encourage us. We pray, Father, that we would grow in you, and that we would become more and more like you. And we ask you these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, kind of like what Jay said last week, I know that most of us aren't really worried too much in our lives about law. And whether we're living up to the law or not living up to the law really isn't a big deal for us. It's not on our radar screens. But you got to remember, the people he was writing to, it was a big deal. Especially the Jewish people who lived by the law. But even to a certain extent, those Christians who were Gentiles or were non-Jewish before they became Christians, all of a sudden, this thing that had no impact on their lives had a huge impact on their lives, even though Paul said it shouldn't have an impact on their lives. And the reason was is because other people were trying to hold them accountable to the law. There were a bunch of Jewish people who had become Christians, who had accepted Jesus Christ through faith, and yet were saying to the Gentiles, you need to become a Jew to become a Christian. And the Jewish world, they had the ability for people, they were called proselytes, to become, who were not Jewish, to worship in the Jewish ways and to integrate themselves into the Jewish framework and into the nation of Israel. And so the people who had become Christians were just trying to continue that. And so in their view, if you were a Gentile who became a Jew, you had to follow all these rules. And so it made sense to them that if you were a Gentile who became a Christian, you should have to follow all these rules. And so that's what Paul is dealing with, are these conflicting ideas. And so what he's trying to explain to the Jews and even to the Gentiles is, it really doesn't matter whether or not you had the law or you didn't have the law. if you don't have the law, if you have sinned without the law, you will perish without the law. The law can't help you if you don't know it. And not only that, though, but if you do have the law, but you have sinned under it, then you'll be judged by the law. And the parish and the judge are really the same idea. They're both negative consequences to their lives. Then he says in verse 13, it's not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law who are justified. And so what he's getting at here is it doesn't really matter whether you have the law or not. It's, do you live out the law? You know, it doesn't matter if you can quote to me the rules of the road. It doesn't matter if you can tell me what the speed limit is on 10 Mile Bridge. If you drive at 70, it doesn't really matter, does it? And it doesn't matter if you can quote all the right rules and regulations about driving safely if you don't do it. But conversely, if somebody is driving along and is ignorant of the speed limit, I don't know if you all ever have that problem, but sometimes I don't pay attention and I find myself on a road, and usually what jogs my memory or my thoughts is that black and white cruiser. And I think to myself, wonder what the speed limit on this road is. You know, you're going along and maybe you're going along with traffic, and then all of a sudden you wonder, I wonder if I'm legal right now. And what the great thing is when you don't know what the speed limit is and you find yourself driving the speed limit or under it, and so you don't get pulled over. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, I was scot-free. It just means I was lucky. I didn't happen to be over the speed limit. It doesn't matter if you know it, if you don't use it, is what Paul's getting at. He says it's not whether you, and there were a lot of Jewish people who thought, you know, we have Moses as our father. We have Abraham as our father. And you see Jesus in the Gospels dealing with this thinking. He says, so what if you have Abraham as your father? Are you living properly? Are you living out of faith? Are you following his practices? So that's why he says it's not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers who will be justified. You don't, just because you have that moniker, just because you can put that cloak around you that says, I'm a Jew, or I've got the Mosaic Law. It would be very similar in our time to be saying, just because you go to church, just because you're raised in a Christian household, just because you do this, you do that, you put a little fish on your car, doesn't change anything. That doesn't justify you. That doesn't mean that you're just. It doesn't mean that you're good. Just because you hear a message every Sunday and you might turn your radio on to 90.9 and listen to sermons or whatever other radio stations are out there that have sermons, just because you turn your radio on and you listen to it doesn't automatically make you okay. Instead, it's the doers of the law, as he was putting it. And for us, I would say it's those who actually do follow Christ in faith, who are justified. And Paul, he even goes on and says, look, we've got the ability, even if you don't have the law, you have the ability to do it instinctively. He says, even when Gentiles who don't have the law instinctively do the things of the law, these not having the law are a law unto themselves. And what he's getting at there, and I might have, who knows, I might have upset some people a while back when I was talking about even the most wicked and evil people in the world do good things. Which kind of goes against our understanding of natural, an inherited sin nature. You know, so often people are always focusing on the good. We don't want to look at the bad. But then there are some people that are so bad, we don't ever want to look at them as say they have the capability for good. And it's not saying anything against our inherent sinfulness to say we have the ability to do good. And so what Paul is getting at here is he's saying the Gentiles who have never been handed the Mosaic Law, who have never been told through the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not murder, you won't bear false witness, even though they haven't been told these things, they inherently know within them this is a wrong thing to do. That's why you can take out the Ten Commandments from our courts, but you're not getting rid of thou shalt not murder. I hope. You know, as much as the state wants to get rid of certain things, and even if they won't acknowledge the Ten Commandments, that doesn't mean that we're not going to stop convicting people or trying them who commit murder. Because even the people who don't have any desire to follow God, even the people who say God doesn't exist, deep down they know killing another human being is wrong. And they can try to justify it all they want sometimes, but down deep they know it's wrong. And that's why a lot of times some people have to justify themselves so much, and they can get so angry about their right to kill other people, or the goodness in killing other people. But deep down they know it's wrong. And deep down they know that stealing things is wrong. And that's why we have to justify, and that's why somebody sooner or later in a philosophy class will always say, well, what about if your family's starving and you got to steal a loaf of bread to live? Yeah, you steal one loaf of bread, you're not going to live very long. They know deep down it's wrong to steal. But seeking out to justify, deep down we know what's right or wrong without the Mosaic Law. We might not know how to eat a kosher meal, but we know what's right or wrong because God has placed that on our hearts. And so he says in verse 15 that they show the work of the law written in their hearts. The work of the law was to help the people of Israel. It wasn't to give them salvation. It was to help them live out in the grace community of following God. He'd already given them salvation. If you go back to Exodus, you know, he didn't give them the law and say, if you follow this law, I'll get you out of Egypt. They were in Egypt, they were in bondage, they were enslaved, and he came and rescued them. He took them out, he took them through the Red Sea, then he brought them to the mountain, then he gave them the law. And the law was not, if you do these things, you'll be okay with me. It was, you're okay with me. Here's how we live together. This is all grace. And the law was a way for the people of Israel to live within the grace of God. But they turned it into, this is going to get us. These are the works we can do and we'll be saved, or we'll contain and maintain our salvation. He says, you know, the law, what its purpose is of following God, doing righteous things, that's written in our hearts. And that's why even people who don't know God and don't know Jesus Christ and don't have any desire to know Him can do really good things. Although the Bible tells us that even the kindness of the wicked is evil. You know, even they can't take care of their animals. Even the kind things that they do are not really truly in the end good and kind. But we know what it is, and we work to it, and we try it, and we have the law written into our hearts. And he says that people who don't even know the Mosaic Law, they have their conscience, and it bears witness, and their thoughts alternately either accuse or defend them. And so even those who don't know what God's desire is for them through revelation, they know, well, this is right or this is wrong. And they'll either, their conscience will either tell them you're doing a good thing, or their conscience will tell them that's a bad thing. And sometimes their thoughts will even try to defend them. It's okay that I'm doing this. But unfortunately, see, on that day when according to the gospel that Paul preaches, according to the gospel that we have, that he has been entrusted with, God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ. And so all these thoughts that we have that we think are private and within us, the doors are going to be blown wide open. And God's going to see it all. He already does. But through Jesus Christ, he's going to judge those secrets. And so what he's getting at, and he's wrapping up the idea of judgment that we started with last week, that every one of you who passes judgment in verse 1, in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge these things practice the same things. And we know the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. And we might in our lives make up an excuse for ourselves, or we might condemn but then excuse or defend. But in the end, God's going to show truly what's going on in our lives. And as I read this, I can't help but think about the passage, and it's in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24, where Paul tells Timothy, some people's sins go before them, but other people's sins follow along behind. And what he's getting at there is there are some people that, I mean, there's sins all over them. You know, I hate to make the analogy, but it's like a pig in mud. You can see it. They're wallowing in it. And you know what I honestly think? I think people who have sins that go before them are blessed. And maybe that's just because that's kind of the tendency I have. You know, if you blow up at the slightest thing, or if you have an addiction or dependency on stuff, or if you have a terrible mouth that throws out just the most foul things, it's kind of hard to hide that. And so it's hard to defend yourself when your sins go before you. And what that means is that it's obvious. Everybody can see them. It's kind of hard to hide. And that's such a blessing. Because when your sins are so blatant, they're easier to deal with. You know who I really feel for? You know who I have pity for? People who are good on their own. People that are clean and good and thoughtful, because their sins follow behind. They don't see them sometimes. And they can look at their lives, and just like this is talking about the Gentiles who don't have the law, and they can say, well, I do good things. I give money to charity. I don't cheat on my wife or my husband, and I always come home, and I don't drink, and I don't swear, and I don't do this, I don't do that. I'm a good person. Thank God I wasn't like that. Because I might not have ever gotten saved. Because it's so easy to be justified in your own heart. And that's the danger. So he's not, and he's not saying here that it's that the people who have the law have the ability to live up to it necessarily, or that these Gentiles in verse 15 who show the work of the law written in their hearts, he doesn't mean that they're justified. He just means that they have the ability to know what is right and wrong. What's scary is when we think we're justified in and out of ourselves, that we do good things, we're okay. When the gospel that Paul preaches and the gospel that we have through Jesus Christ and the gospel we have through the Bible is, there is no one who does good, not even one. In fact, there are two Psalms that are identical to one another, and Paul repeats them, and we're going to see them here in the future. Where David laments, there is no one who seeks after God, not even one. There is no one who desires to do good. Now, I'm pretty sure when he says no one, that includes me and you. I think that's an inclusive of everybody. And so what he's saying is, we have the ability to know what is right and wrong. And we have the ability to choose to do the right things at times. But unfortunately, we don't always do it. And sometimes we like to defend ourselves and get ourselves off the hook. And what's really dangerous is when we can go through life saying, well, we're okay. That makes it harder to accept grace, isn't it? When you can't really point out your great sins. And when we're so focused on the biggies, you know, that are juicy, it's kind of hard to just notice that, you know, my heart is just set against God. My heart desires to do whatever I want to do. And it might be that what I desire to do is give money to different humanitarian ends, and it might be that my desire is to live an upright life and a law-abiding life. But that doesn't necessarily mean you're following Jesus Christ. And the scary thing is that some people can get to where they think they're okay. But what we're looking for isn't to justify ourselves or to be just in ourselves. What we're looking is for God to justify us, to be justified through Jesus Christ. And so what Paul is showing the Jews and to a certain extent the Gentiles is no one's getting a free pass as far as on their own. The really funny thing is that what we should say is nobody's getting an expensive pass that's paid for by themselves. Everybody, if they want it, has to get a free pass. You got to accept Jesus Christ. Whether you know the law or you don't know the law, whether Jesus Christ, whether you're living up to everything you need to do or you're not, which most people aren't. On that day, when God judges the secrets of men through Jesus Christ, it won't be, well, how close did you get? It won't be, well, how often did you get it right? It won't be, well, how much did you know? Well, you didn't know it was 70 miles. I mean, can you imagine? This is why in the courts of law today, ignorance of the law does not mean a defense against the law. You know, you're driving down the road and you didn't realize it was only 40 miles per hour and you're going 70. The sheriff's deputy or the state trooper or the policeman or woman isn't going to let you off because you're ignorant. Oh, you didn't know it was only 40? Well, I'm sorry, go on. Next time, remember it's 40. No, they're going to say, well, too bad. Now you know it's only 40. See you in court. Or you come and pay your ticket. God has put the knowledge in all of our hearts. He has given to the Jews the law that they might live for Him. But in the end, what we need is to be justified through Jesus Christ. And that's the dangerous thing. And it's easier if your sins are big, to a certain extent, to realize, yeah, I got some sins. But even those who it follows behind, you got little bitty things that might as well just be as big. They're just as sinful against God. The only difference is you can't see them as easily. It's a tough life we live, isn't it? That we raise our kids up into. We want them to know how to do good. We try to teach them how to do good. We hope to live in our lives doing good. And yet, every single one of us falls short and needs the grace of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We pray, Father, that we wouldn't judge one another. And we pray, Father, that we wouldn't look at our lives and say, well, we're doing all right. But instead, Lord, that we would look at Your Word and Your desires for us. And we would look at whether or not we are following You and honoring You with our lives. We pray, Father, that if anyone is here today who is justified in their own hearts, we pray, Lord, that You would convict them. We pray, Lord, that as we strive to be upright citizens, as we strive to raise up children and teenagers and young people who we would hope would do good things. We pray, Lord, that we would not put the focus on the good things to the detriment of the need for Your Son in our lives. We pray, Lord, that we wouldn't look at ourselves and say, well, we've got it all figured out. But, Lord, that we would continue to live by grace through Your Son. And we ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.